Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Colossians, please. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and brings forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day you heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who has also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. As you heard in this reading of the first chapter of Colossians, there is much to consider in this. But I believe one thing that you walk away with is the preeminence of Christ. As I've enjoyed reading through this epistle in recent days, I cannot escape the reminder of this truth. And it is, I believe, what God desires us to focus on today, the preeminence of Christ. Why is it that we struggle so in our day, in our world, to keep focused on Christ? I don't have to tell you, you know what life is like. You know the busyness of the days and the weeks and the months. You know the hectic schedules that many of us live, how we seem to pack life from one minute to the next, how rest has become a lost art, how the media of our world seeks to gain our every moment, to capture us and to draw us in, to entertain us, to teach us, to lead us, and dare I say, deceive us. It is a responsibility of the church to keep reminding us that Christ is preeminent, that it is upon Him that we will find meaning for life, and we will find true peace and hope. I draw your attention now to this chapter, and I want us to, first of all, notice how important the foundation is. In Colossians chapter 1, as Paul is speaking of Christ, we notice in verse 16 these words, "For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, and all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." So much in our world is being questioned. The things that we thought were sure are no longer such as far as our culture is concerned. All sorts of things have now become possibilities. Maybe yes, maybe no. There are third, fourth, fifth choices. One of the things that has been regularly attacked is the origin of our existence and of our world. And just like most other things, it is good practice as we find things questioned in our world and in our day, it is good practice to go back to the beginning. As God designed the Bible, He gave us the book of beginnings called Genesis. It is the first of the five books that Moses wrote, called the books of the law or the Pentateuch. It provides the foundation for the Jewish people, their law. It instructed them on how to live. But the first part of this is a narrative, is a depiction of God's view of history, of God's view of the beginning. Without that, what Paul says here in Colossians could be considered quite confusing. For as he is talking about Christ, he speaks of Him, "For by Him were all things created." Creation. Where did everything come from? How did it all get here? How did it all stay together and continue to operate? What about all those laws of nature? How did they all come to be? There are all sorts of answers that our world has presented for these questions. Where do you go for those answers? I ask you as a church. I ask you as individuals. Where do you go when you find those things questioned? I'd encourage you, it is good practice to go to the Book of Beginnings. You know, Genesis chapter 1 begins with these words, in the beginning, what? In the beginning, God. Don't overlook those incredible words. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And packed into that verse, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, we find that there was one who was at the beginning. And I want you to wrap your mind around that, because the beginning is beginning is beginning, right? And if there is a beginning, then there is someone who started it all, who made it all. And it was God. I know that even in America, maybe around the world, churches are questioning this. Oh, dear church, I urge you to go back to the beginning and read your Bibles. And you ask God to help you to discern, what does it say? What is God saying? And then consider, as you hear other preachers and as you read your Bible in devotional time, consider how often you hear references to God and His creation in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, and how the Bible sits firmly on that foundation, that it is God who was in the beginning, who never had a beginning Himself, but saw fit to put into time and space, matter, and life. And so you have creation. And then Paul, here in this letter to the church of Colossae, that was being confronted with the false teaching that Christ, yes, he was a good Savior, but He's not enough. You need to do more. And that's the false teaching that was presented here that he's confronting. Listen, Christ is the one preeminent. And as you read through the gospel or the book of Colossians, you will see Christ referred to over and over and over again. He keeps going back to Christ. And this ought to be the message of the church. We keep going to Christ. It makes sense, doesn't it, for Paul when he says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, or principalities, or powers, all things were be created by him and for him. It makes sense, doesn't it, that this is true because the Bible proclaims that from the very beginning. And of course, lest you miss this, Paul's even greater point is not just that God created the world, but that Jesus Christ created the world. And now you have to sit back and you have to say, well, that's a whole different thing, isn't it? It's not just that God created, but that Jesus Christ, the one that was born of the Virgin Mary, walked on this earth, died upon the cross, and rose again, was there. And not just was there, but that he was the one who created. Listen, this points to the incredible doctrine of the deity of Christ, that Jesus is God. This reminds us of the doctrine of the Trinity, that is, that the Godhead has been proclaimed to us in the person of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the persons of the Godhead. This reminds us as well, as we consider how important the foundation is, it reminds us of the importance of faith. Because were you there when God made the world? Were the greatest of scientists, were they there? Can our telescopes see back in time? No, we weren't there. This is why Christianity is based on faith. What do you believe? And your belief is based upon the substance of God's word. There are other kinds of faith out there, you know. And the other views of how this world came into be, it's believed by faith. Because no one was there but God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Take just a brief look back to John chapter 1. So, the Bible proclaims that it was written under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. So, we have God writing here. He does so through human authors, human writers. So the Spirit is Spirit. You can't see or touch Him. But He worked in through physical men to put ink on paper or parchment, whatever you want to say. And in the inspiration of God through John here, in the first verse of John 1, the Gospel of John, we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." This is a purposeful reference back to what? Creation in Genesis chapter 1. And I want you to notice this purposeful connection. And who is it speaking of? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You continue down. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. This word is Jesus Christ. Looking at chapter John 1, verse 14, we read, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." God did some interesting things through John, because now I want you to go to 1 John. So John wrote some letters, and I'd like to direct you to 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. Now listen to what he writes here. In 1 John 1, verse 1, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us." Yes, the foundation is important. And the foundation that's established in the Old Testament. And I know so often the Old Testament gets a bad rap today. But we need the Old Testament. The Old Testament provides for us this foundation, and the New Testament is built upon it. As you can see from this very text, Jesus Christ is God, and He created the heavens and the earth. Back to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 17, we read, "And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." It is true that the foundation is important, but we need to believe and remember that God continues to hold things together. The foundation is important, but the one who holds it all together remains God Himself. It's not man. It's not that deistic approach of God just said, here's the world, and then you guys deal with it. As much as men like to proclaim all the great things that they have done or think they can do or want to do, our God is the one who holds it all together. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist or are held together. That really helps us, doesn't it, in life? Because sometimes life seems to be like falling apart, right? Just collapsing. You got a health crisis. You got a job crisis or a relationship crisis. And crisis, right? Our lives are full of crisis. And when we get into a crisis, then we go crazy. We're like, what are we going to do? May I recommend to you the prayer we read in the beginning part of this chapter? That you could pray for yourself, or you could pray for others who are in crisis. You can pray, as verse 10 says, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, that you might be fruitful in all every good work, that you increase the knowledge of God, that you be strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. That you give thanks unto the Father which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the foundation. Paul reminds us as well, verse 18, that there is a structure that God has put into place. That, verse 18, we read, "And He is the head of the body, the church." The head of the body, that is that which controls. You know that very well. You lose your head, you lose your mind, and everything goes downhill from there. It reminds me of what happened the one time I cut the head off a chicken. I said one time because I don't care to do it again. But that one time that we, as a family, we did it together. I thought this was a great learning experience, good homeschool experiment. And I have often wondered, what does the phrase mean, running around like a chicken with its head cut off? Well, now I know. It was a cold, cold day. I had my coat on and my leather gloves. And I pulled out what I thought would be a good tool for the job. Others have since cringed when I've mentioned the implement. But I thought a hatchet would be sharp enough. Well, grabbed this rooster because he was a problem for us. He was causing trouble with the kids, and so thought he needed to go. So we laid him out. I say we because I asked my wife to help me. I grabbed one side of the bird, and she grabbed the other side and stretched its neck out, and doom. I didn't quite get all the way through, so I doom doom, and then it was off the chicken went, And I was excited. I was excited to see. But you know what happened was, it scared my family. My wife is running down the hill and this chicken is running after it with its head cut off. And you know, and off it and it didn't know where it was going. It didn't know what it was doing. Its life was over. It lacked purpose. It lacked direction. It just went downhill. Listen, when we get it in our minds as people that structure doesn't matter, things go downhill quick. And here's an even more important part. When we get it in our minds that structure is important, but we make it up ourselves, we remain in deep trouble. God in His Word gives us structure. You look at the creation account in Genesis, and there is a specific order in which God does it. And it might not be the order that you would have done it. For example, God said on that first day, let there be what? Whoa. Where was the sun? What day? Day four. I would have done it on day one because light comes from the sun, right? Oh, dear church, doesn't that just magnify the beautiful wisdom of God? God in His order has, in His ways, has order and structure, even in the family structure. Yes, He made Adam out of the dust of the ground, and there was no woman. And then He put Adam to sleep, and He made Eve out of Adam's side. Yes, there was order and there was structure. There is structure in the family that is given by God. There is structure in the church. Jesus Christ is the head. So Jesus Christ, foundational. He was there at creation. Jesus Christ, imperative for structure. He's the head of the church, who is the beginning, verse 18, who's the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. And too often, there's a jockeying for position. Who is the top? And we do well to submit and say, okay, God, I trust Your word. I believe You to know best. You were there in the beginning. You made it just right and said it was very good. You get the preeminence. Oh, dear ones, we struggle so in life because of that very issue. Who's going to have the top job, top position? So often it's me, I want it. But as a Christian, it's Christ. It's got to be Christ. Otherwise, we're in deep trouble. We're heading downhill. We don't have a head. It's a mess. Is your life a mess? You have a faith in Christ, but you have a mess. That's your life? Would that be the way you describe it? Perhaps there's an issue then with the structure, with what you have embraced as top. Who is it? And it all boils down to either two options. It's either God or it's me. It's you. Paul wants us to know that Jesus Christ is the one who brought great pleasure to the Father. Look at verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. You know, as followers of Christ, as followers of the Lord, we desire to please Him. What brings pleasure to the Father? Yeah, foundation matters, structure matters, but you know what? What pleases God matters. When decisions come in your life, what pleases the Father? Jesus Christ, it is said of Him, "For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. It was God's will, and it was God's pleasure that in Jesus Christ all fullness should be there." Now, let's wrap up by looking at this most incredible truth, the peace that we have through the blood of Christ. Verse 20. So we've talked about the importance of foundation. We've talked about the importance of structure. And this all matters because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is preeminent. Who He is, He's God. What has He done? He's secured for us peace with God. And He has reconciled us, those who have done great wickedness. We are wicked enemies of God, but brought us to a point of being presented. Look at verse 22. I love this. In fact, let me just let the word speak for itself. Verse 20, "And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to" what? "To present you holy, to present you unblameable, to present you unreprovable in His sight." I purposely emphasize a certain pronoun, and what was it? His. It wasn't me or you or my, it was His. You see, it's not about human effort. It's about His work. He made peace through the blood of His cross. Let that settle on your heart today. He made peace through the blood of His cross. This was God's plan of redemption. And He sent His Son to die on the cross, and His blood was shed that you might have peace. And dear ones, is peace in your life? Is there peace in your life today? Is there a peace that defines your relationship with God? When you think of God and interact with God, is there a peace there? See, the issue that was being dealt with in Colossae was that there was no peace there because the false teachers were saying, it's more than Christ. You need to be doing more than just believing in Christ. And so there was really no end in sight. Is God going to be pleased with me? Have I done enough good? Am I listening to the right person? Am I reading the right book? Am I watching the right show? This is why, dear ones, God has given us His Word. There is a unity and a oneness in Christianity. There is one God, And He has given us His Word. And He says, focus there. Christ is preeminent. He's given us peace. So the foundation is important, the structure is important, and the gospel is important. Having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile. Reconcile. Reconcile exists, the need for reconciliation exists because there are two parties who are not getting along, who are at odds. In our house, we regularly have that issue. And if you're honest, you probably have it in your house too. The Bible gives us various different methods and ways that we can accomplish reconciling between human-to-human relationships. But when it comes to relationship with God, we don't have anything to offer. But God, right? Through His great love, like it says in Ephesians chapter 2, has shown us His great mercy and grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and it's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. And so the gospel is so important because it brings about a peace with God and a reconciling. Verse 21 describes the need for reconciling, our state. We were alienated, we were enemies in our mind by wicked works. That's okay. That is you. That was you. And it's good to remember that. What God has done in reconciling, in granting us peace. And that all took place, verse 22, in the body of His flesh. Is the doctrine of Christ truly becoming a person, a man, important? Yeah, right here. It's the body of His flesh. In order to have blood shed, you got to have a body, a real. He wasn't a ghost. He was truly a human, but yet truly God. And here it is. It says, in the body of His flesh, through death, He died. Yes, He truly died to present you. You see, there's this beautiful picture I have in my mind that the scriptures give in this presenting. I think of a wedding and how the bride is presented. I think, and this is so small in comparison, but you think of how you're so excited for this gift that you have for a loved one. And so you wrap it, and what do? You present it, and you do so in a memorable way, because this is special and meaningful. And so this imagery is used here, this to present you in the body of His flesh through death, to present you and me. You're not holy because you've been a good boy or girl. You're not holy because you've attended church and given regularly and you read through the Bible 6 times. These are all good things. You're not holy because of those things. You are only holy because it is the work of Christ that has made you such. He presents you, and this is the beautiful truth that we believe by faith, that I believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is true for me. I am presented in Christ, holy. In whose sight? God's sight. I am presented holy. I'm presented unblameable. I'm presented unreprovable. Oh, praise the Lord. And this is true of you, Christian. And we needed this reminder today because God directed us to hear this. You need to know that God is the one who is over this church, and He directs us in what we're to cover, what we're to sing. We pray through these things. And God wanted you to hear this today. Maybe you got an issue with foundations. Won't you go to His Word for those answers? Maybe you got an issue with structure. Who's the authority in your life? Who's calling the shots? Who's preeminent? Maybe you got an issue with the gospel. Maybe you've got an issue. Maybe it's better said, not an issue with the gospel, but with sin. And you need the gospel. Maybe you're living in unbelief. I trust today the Word of God and the presenting of this beautiful gospel, that you can have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, that you can be reconciled with Him, and through His flesh that He died on the cross, that you can be presented holy, unblameable, unreprovable in His sight. Yes, you may have done incredibly wrong, wicked things. But listen, Christ came to seek and to save those who are lost. He knows. He knows everything about you. And so do not allow that shame to cause you to say, He can't save me. Because, dear ones, He has come to save ones just like you. Heavenly Father, we offer this time to You. This is according to Your will, I pray. Thank You for the precious truth of Your Word, for guiding and directing this time. In Jesus' name, amen.